Feeling Blue, a critical commentary on Singapore's household recycling practices by Kamalika Banerjee and Tan Chan Hui. This article is read by an AI-generated voice. Waste is a mirror of humanity, a means or intermediary by which to reflect on ourselves. Joshua Reno. In 2019, Singapore's Ministry of the Environment and Water Resources, MSE, drafted its inaugural Zero Waste Master Plan, which maps out some pathways for building a sustainable, resource-efficient, and climate-resilient nation. One of these pathways is a move towards a circular economy. As opposed to a linear take-make-dispose model, a circular one endeavors to transform waste, outputs, into resources, inputs, or in Singapore Public Waste Collector Sembcorp's parlance, to convert trash into treasure. Household recycling has featured prominently in Singapore's environmental policies even before its plans for a circular transition. However, since the official implementation of the National Recycling Program, NRP, in 2001, household recycling has gained little traction. Singapore's household recycling rate had been consistently low, hovering between 19 to 22% from 2012 to 2018. In 2022, it dropped to 12%, the lowest in a decade. This is far from its target of a 30% household recycling rate by 2030. Against this backdrop, fixing the analytical gaze on the city-state's blue recycling bins is instructive in illuminating quotidian practices related to the handling of post-consumer waste. As opposed to the itinerant karungguni, a colloquial term for a rag and bone man, and the bi-weekly doorstep collection of reusable items, the blue bins are an everyday presence in residential neighborhoods. We draw on qualitative empirical material from ethnographic observations and interviews to argue that there is a disjuncture between top-down recycling policies and actual recycling practices on the ground. Most of these findings come from 114 interviews with members of Singaporean and non-Singaporean households. Here, we seek to spotlight the limitations of Singapore's household recycling infrastructure, commingled bins, and the implementation of national recycling policies, the National Environmental Agency's Recycle Right campaign, as well as the placement of recycling bins. In particular, we posit that the contamination of the blue bins by organic and other non-recyclable waste is responsible for Singapore's recycling blues. We suggest that the contamination of recyclables stems from several factors: a nonchalance towards pro-environmental behaviors, the lack of a moralistic or disciplinary framework that rewards or punishes good or bad segregation practices, and a heavy reliance on lowly paid migrant workers to perform essential waste work, such as cleaning up common areas and emptying blue recycling and general waste green bins. We posit that a society focused on neoliberal productivity, that is, waged employment and other active engagements in sectors defined as valuable, and accustomed to outsourcing waste work, that is largely construed as menial, unproductive labor, is antithetical to cultivating a culture of sustained engagement with waste. Zero waste aspirations and the household recycling landscape. Singapore's recycling policies are currently subsumed under its Zero Waste Master Plan, which reflects its ambition of producing minimal waste by 2030. Domestic or household recycling can theoretically reduce waste and close circularity loops by transforming post-consumer waste into raw materials for another round of sustainable production. As a small island state, space for waste has always been a governmental concern. Semakau landfill is expected to be full by 2035, a decade earlier than projected. The state's impetus for instilling a recycling culture is thus preemptive and fear-driven, rather than guided by moralistic and environmental concerns. Under the NRP, the three public waste collectors, PWCs, licensed by the NEA, have to provide residential districts with blue recycling bins and collection services. These blue recycling bins are co-mingled, which means that paper, glass, plastic, and metal recyclables are deposited in the same bin. These bins are usually bigger in public housing estates, 660L in size, than in landed housing areas and are collected thrice per week by blue recycling trucks. The recyclables are then sent to a materials recovery facility, MREF, to be sorted by material, baled, and then redirected to other recycling facilities for further processing. Commingling and contamination. The contamination of recyclables has been a persistent problem in Singapore. The contamination rate in blue bins has hovered around 40% in the last 6 years. Although it has been reported that commingled recycling systems can contribute to higher rates of contamination, such a system has still been retained in Singapore. The Minister for Sustainability and the Environment, Grace Fu, explains that a commingled system generates a lower carbon footprint while rendering recycling easier, as it relieves residents of the effort and time needed to segregate different types of recyclables. Sociologists Wheeler and Glucksmann, 2015, call this effort, which involves the unpaid labor of sorting, cleaning, and bringing recyclables to the recycling point, consumption work. Similar to what the minister points out, they have evinced that clean sorts, segregating recyclables based on materials, demands more effort/time than dirty sorts, dropping recyclables in a commingled receptacle. But the prevalence and correct execution of this recycling consumption work are integral to the operationalization of a circular waste management system, failing which it becomes unviable. In our ethnographic interviews, a couple of our interlocutors, who are better informed about the intricacies of household recycling, have identified the drawbacks of depositing different grades/types of plastic recyclables into the same bin. Besides polyethylene terephthalate, PET, and high-density polyethylene, HDPE, other lower grades of plastic material, such as plastic bags and styrofoam packaging, are not actually recycled, even if they are technically recyclable, and act as contaminants. These recyclable contaminants will have to be removed at the MRF and sent to the incinerator. Although the commingled blue bins are dirty sorts, bottles containers still have to be rinsed to reduce contamination from food waste. Food waste causes paper to disintegrate, while decomposition reactions can adversely affect plastic recyclables. In other words, contamination in the blue bin stems from poor recycling attitudes, for example, nonchalance, apathy, and practices, for example, not rinsing containers, bottles, wish cycling, depositing non-recyclables into the blue bin, rather than commingling. Conversely, apathy could be engendered by the deplorable state of the blue bins. Most of our interlocutors are reluctant to recycle because the blue recycling bins below their apartment blocks are so badly contaminated with non-recyclables and organic waste that they are indistinguishable from green general waste bins. Our ethnographic observations confirm that these blue bins are routinely polluted with rotting food and dripping liquids. One of our interlocutors has provided an emotional testimony of her experiences. by sending us a picture of her commingled recycling bin at her void deck. The picture presented incontrovertible proof of how gross the bin was, which had a swarm of flies, thereby justifying her decision to not go anywhere near it, and therefore not recycle her waste. The images of the blue bins we have captured exceed their visual mimetic qualities. They are a form of affective witnessing, entailing an acknowledgement of potentially difficult realities. Apart from the visceral disgust that our interlocutors have had to contend with in confronting matter out of place, for example, used sanitary napkins and diapers in the blue bin, they are also cognizant that whole batches of recyclables can go to waste even with just a small amount of contaminant. Some have also seen blue bins being emptied into general waste trucks, thereby contaminating the recyclables. Others have reflected that Singapore is not only late in joining the pro-environment movement, but is also perfunctory in encouraging a moral culture of recycling. The lack of an overarching moral economy gives rise to heterogeneous segregation practices, whereby individuals interpret rules based on their convenience. Meanwhile, some pro-environment residents prefer to sell or give away their newspapers, cardboard boxes, other recyclables, and reusables to a karangguni who visits irregularly, despite having to store these items at home for longer periods of time. Not only does this ensure that the recyclables are uncontaminated and would be recycled, interactions with a karangguni also fosters interpersonal relationships compared to the impersonal act of depositing recyclables into a recycling bin. Other limitations in design and placement. Besides contamination, the design and placement of the blue bins are less than thoughtful. In public housing neighborhoods, these bins are usually placed outdoors and along roads for easy collection by trucks. However, such logistical considerations discount the exposure of the recyclables to heavy rainfall all year round, which contaminate and degrade paper materials. Older versions of the blue bin have covers with a small open slot, and rainwater often seeps in, as the small slit makes it hard to fit bulkier packaging waste. The cover of the bins are occasionally ripped off and never replaced. Despite newer, improved iterations of the bins, which are fully covered and larger in capacity, residents still tend to dump their recyclables beside the bin rather than inside it. Remedial action and the perils of Singapore's socio-institutional climate. NEA continues to pump resources into boosting the country's household recycling rates, despite the limited progress after two decades of institutional effort. To bring down the high contamination rates, NEA has recently rolled out a #RecycleRight campaign, exhorting members of the public to treat the anthropomorphized blue bin right, while introducing blue bin sticker packs for app-based messaging services. Posters of recyclable items have been plastered on all blue bins. Additionally, households have been given a foldable and reusable mini blue box for keeping their recyclables at home. Unfortunately, many of our interlocutors have shared that the box is too small to fit their recyclables and are often used as storage boxes, evincing how well-intentioned, top-down plans have unforeseen outcomes in the absence of a socio-moral framework. NEA has also partnered with F&N Foods to introduce reverse vending machines, RVM, for the collection of empty plastic bottles and aluminium cans. However, these RVMs are not as ubiquitous as the blue bins and are often at capacity, which means the blue bins remain the primary receptacle for household recyclables. The effective evocation is fear-driven and sympathy for an impersonal bin instead of a moral one such as environmental stewardship. Without punitive measures, a fear-driven rhetoric has failed to condition public behavior. Given that Singapore is renowned for its aggressive fining of arguably minor infractions, a handful of our interlocutors have expressed surprise at the absence of a recycling police, and that contaminating a whole batch of recyclables and wasting the time/effort of others who have diligently recycled right is not a punishable offence. Furthermore, waste is predominantly invisibilized in Singapore. The landfill is on the separate island of Semakau, hence far removed from everyday life. Invoking a spatial crisis for waste is therefore hard for residents to comprehend. Initiatives targeted at raising the quality of consumption work do not address the main cause of contamination. Poor segregation at source, however, good recycling practices, for example, depositing only recyclables and rinsing them, are unlikely to happen without strategies to change attitudes or enforce a change in actions. As a society driven by economic pragmatism, the handling of waste is typically construed as a waste of labor time. This is compounded by provisions made by the paternalistic state to clean up after its residents. One of our interlocutors has even absolved themselves of any responsibility to deal with household waste since the government charges conservancy fees for waste disposal. The blue bin in Singapore is a lonely, forlorn, and unloved figure. It is neither culturally integrated as other mascots, nor backed by discourses on environmentalism, sustainability, and ethics. To draw from Gay Hawkins, although recycling does not sensitize us to how much of the waste we make comes from exploited labor and goes to an exploited nature, it serves as a first step towards an ethics of waste. An ethics of waste is embedded in a system of values that extends beyond the household and this country. It requires the cultivation of a new form of moral subjectivity, which is attuned to the historical culture of Singapore's society, alongside respect for waste workers. Consequently, a radical reconceptualization of value and waste beyond narrow economic terms is imperative if the goal is to change the population's relationship with waste and their waste disposal practices. Kamalika Banerjee is a research fellow at CNRS, Centre National de la Recherche Scientifique, at Create Singapore. Tan Chan Hui is a postdoctoral fellow with the Migration Cluster at the Asia Research Institute. Kamalika would like to thank Dr. Remy de Bersegol and Nicholas Christie for their advice and support. Kamalika's research is supported by the National Research Foundation, Prime Minister's Office, Singapore, under its Campus for Research Excellence and Technological Enterprise CREATE program, NRF 2020, ITC 003-001. Chan Hui's research is supported by the Ministry of Education Singapore under its Academic Research Fund Tier 2, MOE T2, EP 40,120-10-05, PI. Brenda Yeo. The views expressed in this forum are those of the individual authors and do not represent the views of the Asia Research Institute, National University of Singapore, or the institutions to which the authors are attached.